Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. We love you for your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us a blueprint, a roadmap, something to follow. Otherwise, we'd be drawn for straws and looking for the word through the news and the mainstream media and the social media and Uncle Pookie and anybody else who would give us a word of something to hold on to. God, but we got the true and living God. We got the living word. We have the bread of life. We have your roadmap and your blueprint, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. We don't have to guess on how to live, how to love, how to forgive, what true love really is. We don't have to guess, Lord. You've made it plain in your word. So now we would ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. Give us clarity. Give us hope. Challenge us. Change us. Convict us. Transform our minds and our hearts so that we can apply everything that we hear and live for you. We're so grateful and thankful to be alive this morning, to be in the land of the living. Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. We open our hearts and minds to receive what you're saying this morning. Speak with clarity, speak with power, speak with conviction. May it lead to a transformed life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are in John chapter 6 and verse 36, I encourage you to take notes. I have notes on my notes because as I write my message, I go through it during the week, and then as I'm studying it, God is always speaking. Somebody say amen. Because you know God's always speaking. Okay, so since God is always speaking, those of you, I would encourage you too to keep that notepad and a pen right by the side of your bed. Because you'll wake up the next morning, you God will give you a revelation or speak to you at night, and then I'm going to remember that. You wake up the next morning and can't remember nothing. Amen? So I just write. I get up and I write it down, and then I get up and I see what God was speaking. And you know when God wakes you up in the middle of the night, you know you are to be praying. Somebody needs your prayers. Don't be upset because you can't sleep. That's an opportunity for you to pray for a lot of people that need it. Somebody say amen. And if you can't sleep because you're worried about something, then you should be upset about that, because God already told you, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So ain't nothing to be worried about. All right? Get your rest and start praying. So in chapter 6, let me just set the context for it. As you read, I'm always, everything has a theme, everything has a context. So it was so much in this. So in John chapter 6, so for those of you taking notes, here's what's going on. We got the New Testament versus the Old Testament. We got receiving versus rejecting. The whole theme would be there is something different about this bread. We got new bread and we got old bread. We got manna, which means what is it? And we have the bread from God, which gives us eternal life. We have temporary versus permanent. We have life versus death. Jesus is in the synagogue and he's preaching. So he's in the church, so to speak. He's the teacher, so to speak, and he's teaching this lesson. So that's the context. He's not out on the street somewhere. He's actually in the house of God teaching this new message, which they are having trouble receiving. Some do and some don't, as always. We go from thirst and hunger and death to life in Christ. Manna means whatness. They don't even know what it is. Manna, make a note, it was like edible gum. Yeah, I don't know, but that's what it was. That's why it means, what is it? It's some type of edible gum that God would give them every day. And remember, we told them, whatever you don't eat, get rid of it. Don't store it up, because then when they stored it up, it turned into worms the next day. Only day that it would be extras for going into the Sabbath, so they wouldn't have to work. They already had it. So we got whatness versus God's witness. All that's going on right here. We got the question, which is manna, what is it? And the answer, which is Christ. We got the question and the answer going on right here. So we pick it up at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst. So Jesus is the bread of life. He's the New Testament. They're thinking about bread. They already talked about where our father, Moses, our fathers gave us bread. Moses, he said, no, forget that. Moses didn't give you nothing. God provided everything. And now he's telling them it's a different bread. He's the bread of life now, not the bread of death, not the bread of whatness, not the bread of what is it, not the bread that's filled with worms, but the bread that's filled with eternal life. So family, as I'm studying this, you just can't get away from God saying eternal life in Christ has to be the priority of our life. In a world that's all upside down, want us to get into this, that, and the other. We talked about it yesterday in the men's meeting. It's a lot of good things going on in a lot of our lives, and that's okay, but the priority always has to be Christ. You can't let good take over where best should be. Christ is the best that we could ever do. So the struggle for some of us is not the issues that's going on, but the blessings, and how do you keep Christ at the top when you're being blessed? Amen? So Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. Those that come to him, those that receive, we never hunger again. Because manna, you had to be fed every day. No more of that. We have Christ. We don't have to hunger after anything again. And those that trust in him will never thirst after anything. We'll be filled with the living water that comes from Christ. Verse 36, but I said unto you, that you also have seen me and believe me not. You've seen me. You've experienced me. That word seen in the Greek means you have experienced me, but you don't trust me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a problem. So family, I can't trust God for you. You can't trust God for me. Three areas that we have. The week before I said it was two areas. Now I've changed it to three. I was speaking with Brother Clarence. Three areas we don't trust God in. Our relationships, because we'll date anything and try and pretend that it's saved. Somebody say amen. We'll try and make somebody saved because they said they passed by a church one time. And we're going to have a missionary marriage. Get married and get them saved. We don't trust God with our relationships. We don't trust God in our giving because we will not tithe off of anything. Well, we say we love you, but we don't trust you. That's what we say, and we know that's an abnormal relationship. So we got to trust God in our relationships. We have to give them to God. Family, I'm telling you, it's just no other way. It's hard enough when you're both saved and love the Lord. Somebody say amen. And you hooking up with somebody that's not saved and questionable and sketchy, you just ask him for trouble. My wife and I have done premarital counseling for over 20 years, and there's no surprises. What you see is what you get. It's not going to change once you get married. You date them, they're an idiot. You marry them, guess what? You married an idiot. But you knew that before you went in. It ain't no surprises. Come on, knock it off. Knock it off. There's no surprises. We've had people stop at the table and say, no, this ain't, I can't do this. Yeah, amen. We didn't even have to tell you that. I'm glad the Lord revealed it to you. That's why most couples, you want premarital? No, we good. I remember talking to my brother-in-law. You know, you're going to marry my sister, man. You guys should get premarital. Oh, no, we good. We got this. Okay. Yeah. Because you don't want to hear the truth. That's what Jesus is telling them. You've experienced me, but you don't want to trust me. So we got our relationships, we got money, and then our kids. Somebody say amen. We worry all night, hair falling out. Everything about our kids. And Jesus say, you're supposed to cast all your cares upon me. I took care of you. You remember how much of an idiot you were, and I took care of you? Do you think I could take care of your kid too? So he said, you experience me, but you don't trust me. All right. So, family, I'm just putting it out there, okay? That it's an abnormal relationship. God, help us to trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways, with our relationships, our giving, with our kids, anything else, Lord, that you might direct our paths. So we're working with the living bread this morning. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no ways cast out. So God is calling us to a higher calling in Christ. Everyone, we determined that God, he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come unto repentance. Some people just will not answer the call. They will choose, as Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a choice. So God is saying, all those that choose to serve me, I'm not going to cast them out. All those that receive me and commit, surrender their life to me, I'll never cast them out. I never will. So there you go. Can you lose your salvation? No, you cannot. I don't care how raggedy you are living. If you are truly saved and you surrendered and submitted to Christ, you are saved. And only you and not, and only you and God knows that. I love the way God set it up. So I can't judge you. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but God does. And if you, the worst person you can lie to is yourself, thinking you got it together with God, because God is going, I don't know you. Don't lie to yourself. But if you're connected to Christ, you can't lose your salvation. Although we felt like and lived like we weren't saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Like, I couldn't be saved with the stuff I'm thinking about and the stuff. There's no way. God's, oh yeah, I died for that. Don't condemn yourself. That's why you need a Savior. Because you couldn't do it yourself. And I'll never cast you out. I know you're struggling, but I will never cast you out. Run to me, because I'll never cast you out, because you are mine. Look what Jesus says. Where are we at? Verse 38. For I came down from heaven. Come on now. Not to do my own will, and that will in the Greek means purpose. Not for my purpose, but for the purpose of him that sent me. That is to seek and to save those that are lost. To remind them that the bread of life has come to the earth. And is offering eternal life. He said, I didn't come for me, I came for God's will. So in here we have the will versus the will. God's will and Christ's will, one and the same. And then there's our will. What will we do? What is our purpose? Verse 39, and this is the Father's purpose which he sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Somebody say amen. As jacked up as we are, he said, I love you, but I ain't going to lose you. That's what separates God, because other people say, I love you, but you lost and you gone, and that's that. But not God. God said, I love you, and I'm not going to lose you. And he said, but I shall raise it up again on the last day. Final judgment, he said, he's going to represent us so we don't die and get cast into the lake of fire. I'm not going to lose you. You're not going to be lost. Look at verse 40. And this is the will. He says it again. He repeats it. And this is the purpose of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, seeth, which experience to enjoy, that has a relationship. That's what the word see means in the Greek. Everyone that experience and enjoys and has a relationship with the Son, and trust on him. Somebody get that. Make a note of that. Enjoy Christ and trust him. It'll change your life. Oh, God, thank you. Everyone that experienced the Son, enjoys the Son, and trust on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. So as we step out these doors, right, we got to deal with the real world, or the mirage of a world that tells us that you know, it's all about whatever else. And God says, don't get distracted. Who's with me today? Dominique, take us. Let's see how serious this is. Let's take this to Revelation 20. I think it's 2012. Revelation 20 and 12. So you understand what the last day is. He said, I'm going to represent you here. Oh, it gets deeper. Oh, it gets, it's not complicated, but it gets deeper. How about we start at 2011? And I saw a great white throne. This is the last day. This is the final judgment. Saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, but there was found no place for them. You can't hide from God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So make a note. When people tell you that all roads lead to God, they sure do. You're going to be standing right there. But all roads do not lead to eternal life, and that's only through Jesus Christ. Make a note, and you let them know that. And they can argue with the Bible on that. And then you ask them, are you smarter than the Bible? And if they tell you yes, get away from them, because you know something's wrong with them. So you smarter than the Bible. Oh, that's, how arrogant can you be? But here we go. You're going to stand there. We all going to stand there. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That is a bad day. But Christ says he's going to step in and he's going to represent us on that last day. Say, hold up. Oh, that's covered by the blood. Now that's what we ate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? You want to know what I mean? Let me see. I wrote it down somewhere. Read this. Sister Kathy, thanks for coming back, because I wouldn't know what to do if you weren't here. I wouldn't even know what to read or where to go. All right. So I wrote it down somewhere, but Sister Kathy, let me see if I can find it. Let's go to Proverbs. Oh, I wrote it right here. Let's go to Proverbs. You all don't have to turn, but Dominique, Proverbs 15:3. Amen. Let me see. Bless you. Proverbs 15:3. What does it say? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, observing the evil and the good. Amen. So I don't know. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't even care. I do, but I don't. I don't care. Y'all don't even have to care what pastor's doing, because, hey, I can't fool God. All right? Dominique, let's take us to Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man, everything that we do are before the eyes of the Lord, and he considers all his... Everything that we do is... Gosh, darn, not everything. Dominique, how about John? Is it John 4:39? Let's see if that's the other one. 4:39. We were talking about this last week. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all I ever did. Oh, gosh. Okay. I don't think I want to have that conversation with Jesus on the last day. I think I want to be represented by Christ, who's saying, oh, it's covered. Before that video gets started. Jesus, are you going to, you said in your word you was going to represent me on that last day. I sure don't want that, standing before God. We were talking about it yesterday with Brother John. And people, they don't think they're as bad. I'm not really that bad. They don't have an idea when you start finding out. And God starts showing you everything you ever did, the motive behind them. We're not as good as we think we are. And we talked about it before. As a school shooting, innocent kids got shot. Oh, high school? Oh, they're really not that innocent. I remember I was an administrator. 30 minutes in the class. You know, the bell rings, you're supposed to go to class, right? So 30 minutes into the class, a guy and a girl comes walking. The administrators was patrolling the hall, and a guy and a girl come out of the bathroom. Couldn't say, didn't see nothing, just couldn't. Nothing? What was y'all doing? Nothing. Okay. I was born at night, but not last night. Innocent school shooter? I don't know if they're that innocent. Hey, we were in high school. We got high school students here. We could have them come up and share what they seen at that school. We're not as good as we think we are. We're not. And people want to say, well, I'm not that bad. I'll deal with God on that day when I see him. Oh, really? Okay. All right, let's go back to Revelation. Let's see what you're going to be dealing with. Revelation 20, and let's do 13. Oh, my gosh. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Can't hide from God. Now, even I don't care if your ship went down, you're on the Titanic, somewhere at the bottom. Oh, you coming. God, you got a date with God. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So when you die and go to hell, then you still got to come to the final judgment. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And then look at this. This was interesting. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So in heaven, there's no more death and hell because it's done. It's gone. Somebody say amen. It's gone. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the only way our names are written in that book of life is when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, commit our life and surrender to him. And God says, when you do that, I'll never cast you out. Because it's not based on what you do, it's based on what Christ has already done. You don't have to get yourself together to come to church. Christ has already done it. You need to get here and learn how to live for Christ. You can't do anything. It's plus or minus nothing. And once you're living for Christ, you can't take it off. You're saved. You're sealed. Now, there are rewards in heaven. We talked about that. You'll barely make it there, but you're there. Amen, that's better than not being there. Verse 21, chapter 21, just the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember, new stands for never, ever was. So we can't even imagine what it is. Because never, ever was. It's new. Saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So much for my ocean view. Okay? But let me ask you this, and this is what hit me as I was reading. If it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, why are we working so hard for stuff that's going to pass away? Why are we sacrificing souls to get stuff that's going to pass away? Ain't going to even be here. It was no more. My ocean view ain't going to even be there. All right, it's just food for thought. Okay, I got to wrap this up. Let's go back to John. Let's see where we're going to finish this at today. Oh, we got to get to verse 41. So maybe we'll finish with that. If you there, say amen. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread of life. That's offensive. People do not want to deal with Christ. We talked about the hypocritical double standard in society, where if you've done anything and you want to be a leader in anything, they look at you and go, no, you did this, you can't do, you're not qualified. 100 years ago, you looked at somebody wrong or you said something. When you were in elementary school, you drew a picture of a racist picture. Dude, I was 5 years old. I was coloring on the carpet. Whoa, that's offensive. So have you done anything? You don't qualify to be anything. But then we present to them the flawless man with no sin who says, I'm the bread of life, and they murmur and complain and say, we don't want him either. You can't keep up with a hypocritical, double standard society. You got to stick to the word of God. So they start murmuring and complaining. And remember, that's the fifth thing that keeps us in the wilderness when we murmur and complain. Somebody say amen, otherwise I'm going back to the wilderness. Y'all, you better say amen. We was on there for 5 months. Y'all better understand that's the fifth thing that keeps you in the wilderness, all that murmuring and complaining. If not, I'll go back there and remind you. We can talk, we can discuss, but we're not murmuring and complaining about nothing, because when I do that, I'm telling God, I don't trust you, I have a better way. My way would have been better. And God is saying, you can't see till tomorrow how you know what's going to happen. Then the Jews murmured and complained at him because he said, I'm the bread of life which came down from heaven. People got a problem with that. Got to change some things. And then remember, your problem isn't with people, your problem is with God, because you don't believe that God has placed people in your life to minister to pray for. You're complaining about your job because you don't believe that God has placed those people in your life to minister to pray for, to keep you humble, to keep your focus on God and not on people, to help you deal with your selfishness because they're getting in your way and bothering your stuff. And God is just trying to allow you to practice the fruit of the Spirit daily, and you murmuring and complaining about it. Complain about your kids, complain about your spouse, because you don't trust God with them. And they getting on your nerve and they getting in your space. Why? Because I'm just a little selfish, God. See, I need to deal with that. God, I want more patience. Then you start having your kids and your wife get on your nerve, and then you got a problem with that. How are you going to learn patience unless you have to go through some stuff? Somebody say amen. You don't learn patience by being patient. You learn patience by being bothered and annoyed and disturbed. So they're offended by Christ because he says, I am God, basically. I came down from heaven. I was with the Father. I got a problem with it. But look at this. And I can see them now in verse 42 when they're pointing their fingers. And look what they're saying. They said, man, isn't this Jesus? Man, ain't that Joseph, that Joseph's son, whose father and mother, we know his mother. How is it that he said he came down from heaven? That dude, man, he came from, man, get out of my face. Some just don't believe. Some want to clown you about Jesus. And people just say some stupid, bizarre stuff because they don't know the word. And just keep praying for them, because I know if you like me, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, all the standards, the standard responses. Well, you know, the Bible has been translated, and so can you tell me where it's off? No. You have a manual for your job? Yeah. Who wrote it? A man? Oh. So you've been reading that? Yeah, it shows me how to do my job. Oh, do you think it's been tampered with? What you trying to say? If you don't want to change your life, any excuse to do. Okay, I got to wrap this up, all right? Verse 43, Jesus knows what's in our heart. He asked him, Stop talking amongst yourself. Stop complaining about stuff. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And look what he says again. I'm going to represent him on the last day at that final judgment. Remember, he's in a synagogue. So verse 45, he said, it is written in the prophets. So he's going through the Torah. He's going through the book of prophets. And he's telling them, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, except he which is from God hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me shall have never-ending life. Then verse 48, he says it again. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat that edible gum in the wilderness, and they are dead. Ooh, man, he's going, ooh. He's going hard on them. So it's life and death. He's trying to tell them, I'm trying to give you life. You're talking about something that's dead. I'm talking about the New Testament. You stuck in the Old Testament. I'm talking about freedom. You're talking about bondage. You're talking about bread that was on the ground and turned to worms. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and never die. Jesus is trying to explain to them, trying to explain to us. It's a lot going on, but what really matters, if you recognize Jesus Christ as the bread of life, because at some point it's not if, it's when, we all got to transition, but if we have the bread of life, that relationship with Christ, we will never die. We just transition right to paradise. And family, I start off by saying today, this season, this era that God has us in, people are searching and looking. Share with them the bread of life. Share with them the life of Christ. Invite them to your house to share Christ. Invite them to church to hear the word. But start letting people know there is hope. There is a bread that's come down from heaven. It's the life of Christ. And then we'll pick up the rest next week. So if you would, just quickly bow your heads. And I will search for you. You can pull it up. And if you would just bow your heads. And maybe someone's here. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. You don't even have to guess. The word says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus Christ stands at the door of your heart and knock. All you have to do is ask him to come in, to receive him, gladly receive him. Is there anyone here you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I've never accepted the bread of life. But today I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. God was telling me to get up. To accept him. Is that anybody who want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need to get saved this morning? Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life because you've been all over the place. But God said, he'll never cast you out. God said, I'll never leave you. You'll struggle, but I'll never leave you because you struggle. I died for the sin that you are in. Yes, Lord. And so you're saying, Pastor, I just need to get back on track with God. Want to rededicate your life? That's between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. That's personal. As you listen to the song and searching for God, search with all your heart. Rededicate your life. Get reconnected. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will search, and I will find you. Because you said you would never cast me out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, past, present, and future sins are covered under the blood. Run back to God. Don't wait. Don't let the enemy condemn you because he's going to the lake of fire. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official. I haven't joined. If that's you, elevate your hand. You'd like to unite with us this morning. Lord, we love you. We bless you. God, as we prioritize our life, we have to put Christ at the top, the bread of life at the top. Those that we love, we pray for them that they would get saved. That final judgment will be no joke. And this is what it's all about. Who has eternal life and who does not? Who trusted Christ and who didn't? Who chose Christ because Christ chose them, and who rejected Christ and said, I got a better plan. So, Lord, we pray for our friends. We pray for our families, our co-workers, our siblings, our spouse, our grown kids. Pray for deliverance. Pray for salvation. Pray for rededication. Pray that they would run to God and not from God. What does it profit a man? What does it profit a woman to gain the world and lose their own soul? God, let the bread of life be our priority. Give us the opportunity this week to share Christ with someone. Someone who needs to know that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Someone who's losing hope. Someone who's fallen apart. Someone who's searching. Give us the opportunity, Lord. And we thank you in advance that we would speak up and share Christ in love, in true love. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug. And you are dismissed. Yes, Lord.